Hello, this is Mike Swanson of WallStreetWindow.com. I got a very special guest today. I'm speaking with Olivier Tischendorf, who runs the website Tischendorf.com. He's based in Germany, and he's got a great blog, does technical analysis, so follow his work and his posts on Twitter and so forth. And you were just a guest last month. How you doing?
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming back. When we last spoke, it was kind of interesting because at the time, I was really uncertain about the short-term direction of the stock market and gold, too. Even though I was already long gold, I was kind of thinking it might pause here, the stock market. You know, I think I'm more bearish on the market than you are, but I wasn't expecting it to fall immediately or something. And I think just, you know, the short-term trends said sometimes aren't very clear. And I think at that time you felt the same on those two things. But I think both of us, though, were kind of both of us were eyeing agriculture to break out. There's an agriculture ETF, DBA, I own it. I also own a coffee ETF, too. And I think we both have been pleasantly profiting from those positions, to say the least.
Yeah, that's true. DBA was a good good way, and at the time, I completely agreed with your take. This is still is. I think you're still in, right?
Yeah, I'm still in it,
And I'm still in as well. And I think this is a great way to diversify. And as I've mentioned for my members, this is a great mean reversion trade. So I think we agree on this strategy. You do similar stuff where, well, I'll talk about what I do. So, and okay, then you can, I typically like to buy very strong stocks trading near their all-time high, but we agreed on that in the last interview. The markets were choppy at the time, and then the S&P moved higher. But at the time, it was already a good idea to diversify into stuff that is not exclusively, you know, tech stocks or all-time high stuff. And DBA is it's tough to say. I don't like to say it's starting a new bull market. I prefer to say it's starting a new uptrend. So I'm hedging myself. And you, as you mentioned before we started the interview, individual positions within DBA, like GO, the coffee ETF, look very good. And I think you own a position in that one too.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'll say the DBA's wallet is an ETF that owns lots of different commodities. So it's really owning a lot of agriculture, soft commodities. It has a position in coffee and corn and wheat and so forth, whereas the JO is only tracking coffee. So
I think it owns 10% of basically all these commodities. Yeah. I think coffee, sugar, corn, wheat, and even cotton, I think.
Right. At one point, I do remember you making when we talked about this before, is these things aren't like stocks in the sense that, you know, they can go up to infinity, right? You know, the price of oil or whatever can only go up so much. It's not like a growing, it's not creating earnings. It's not, you know, like Walmart starting with one store going to, you know, thousands. So there's a limited upside, but, you know, if we go back to where we were a couple years ago, it would still be a
pretty, yeah, as long, and I think this is really important, as long as you apply sound trading methods, you know, you keep your exposure as long as the trend is going higher. When things change, that is when the trend stops working in your favor, you get out. And but you're right, you know, food or commodities in general. Well, maybe with the exception of gold and silver, which can really, you know, you know, this is similar to the story stock concept with let's say tech stocks or whatever stock for that matter. And then, you know, it appeals to greed, and then there's no real, you know, supply demand with gold that can disrupt your daily life. You know, and this is the advantage of gold. You know, it doesn't affect your life if gold doubles or gets cut in half. You know, so, and that's the reason why it offers more upside potential.
Yeah, and then the mining stocks tend to go up crazy during a bull market too.
They can go to infinity. No, I didn't say that.
Well, it feels like they can. That's for sure. Well, I mean, a difference though. You know, I'm one of the stocks, and I'll ask you what you're looking at too in a second. But you know, I own lots of most people listening know I own gold stocks, but I don't own any agriculture stocks, and even though I own these ETFs we're speaking of, and one agriculture stock that I just got on my screen now is Potash, P-O-T, and you know, it's not going up, it's weak, but it's forming a base, and it pays a nice dividend, but I'm not really bullish on it. It would be something I might get bullish in the future, I don't know, but it's kind of a difference between this stock and then the mining stocks, which are clearly I believe in a bull market now because they're above the moving averages, and they have more of the chart patterns I think you like, where they have real momentum with them, where this Potash doesn't really have the momentum, at least not yet.
Yes, I mean Potash, that one is still in a clearly defined downtrend, so let's shift our focus to let's say GDX.
Okay.
I agree with you. I mean, this is, I think the main thing is we have a big thrusting move in place here. So that is a typical character trait of bull market behavior, you know, thrusting move to the upside, no back test of the, or no immediate, you know, I was expecting a back test of the moving average 200 early on, let's say in end of March, beginning of April, and instead the gold stocks just went higher, you know. And this is we talked about that beforehand. I mean, I'm not bearish gold, make no mistake on that, or gold stocks for that matter, but I'm waiting for great entries that I can manage as a purely technical trader. And what we are seeing here is typical bull market behavior. The stocks make it very difficult for you to enter. This is the second time I was expecting more weakness and more consolidation. The first time was in April, and now recently, at the beginning of June, they broke higher again. So it's the second time they're making it very difficult for people to enter into positions. And this is bull market behavior. I still think, and I mentioned that for my members, FNV, Franco Nevada, which is, I do believe, or I consider this to be, well, the bellwether stock within that sector, or the let's call it an indicator stock. And I see an ascending bullish triangle developing here, and I would like to see a bit more pattern pressure. So I would love for the stock. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it because, you know, bull market. But I would love to see, you know, another 2 weeks of consolidation, maybe 3 weeks, maybe even more, maybe less, and then a breakout out of this ascending triangle to the upside. And then I think gold stocks can be very interesting. But again, I'm not a purely technical trader, but let's say mostly technical trader. I'm able to change my mind very quickly. So But this is, as a general rule, you know, Franco-Nevada, watch this stock. If this one is, you know, giving you a pure technical buy signal, that will be a great sign to get exposure either to Franco-Nevada itself or to more aggressive mining stocks that have, and that's my pet peeve, so to speak, pattern pressure. You know, you don't want to trade something because you're bullish a sector or something like that. You want to look at the individual stock, and the individual stock has to have pattern pressure. It has to offer you a good and sound entry point where you can limit your risk, put in a sound stop loss, and then you put yourself in a position to ride the trend, and then you can watch for the next maybe gold stock, or for that matter, any other stock that has a decent setup, chart setup, because technical trading.
Yeah, it's an interesting market. I mean, the gold stocks, frankly, you know, I thought they would pause or pull back before they made a new high, a little bit more than they have. Maybe they're starting a pause now. You know, it's hard to say.
It's really difficult to say. And again, if you, you know, the goal is not to be the perfect trader. The goal is to, that's the way I see it, and that's why I run my newsletter or my premium service. The goal is to improve your technical skills, your knowledge over the years. And then you can look at individual stocks, and you can start or initiate positions. And you don't have to worry about, oh, this is a bull market, this is a bear market, the S&P will trade at XYZ in 6 months, or will be lower in 6 months. You don't ask these type of questions anymore. I one of my, you know, what I really try to pay attention for members is this why versus what question. Most people ask why questions. Why is a stock moving up? Why is this happening? This is the wrong approach. The correct way to approach trading, and again, I'm talking about trading, is what questions. What is price doing? What is the stock doing? Is it going higher? Is it going higher on big volume, on decreasing volume? What is happening? And then you know, this is the trading in a flow state of mind type of thing. You just acknowledge what the market is doing, what a chart is doing, and then you position yourself accordingly, and you align yourself with the trend, and then you can trade either gold stocks or tech stocks
or both. So
or I mean, I'm talking too much, but
yeah,
we talked beforehand. I see the S&P 500. I still believe that. Okay, let's talk about this. The S&P 500 has a huge run-up, has had a huge run-up, and now we have a 2-3 year sideways consolidation pattern. I know that you tend to see that as a topping pattern. I tend to disagree. I think it's a continuation pattern, and from a purely technical perspective, as a technical trader, I have to consider this as a continuation pattern, and then the technical rules say that the trend leading into the pattern is going to be the next trend. So we have an uptrend leading into the pattern, and once the consolidation pattern resolves itself, it will resolve into a new uptrend. So, and that is why I'm still willing to trade tech stocks, and frankly, there are lots of good-looking tech stocks out there still.
One comment I'll make about the pattern, just the sideways pattern. You know, we may disagree in which way it's going to ultimately resolve, and we can't. No one can be 100. We can't really predict it 100%. But I think it is obvious that we're in a sideways pattern. There's no doubt about that. And one thing about it, and let's see what I'd like to see what you think, is that one of the indicators I like to use to look at the long-term trend, which is what we're talking about, I think, with the sideways pattern, because the sideways thing has really been going on for over a year.
Basically 3 years, 2.5 years, yeah.
So one of the indicators I like to use is the 200-day Bollinger Bands, just to look at these long-term charts. And last year, in August, they came really close together. And in fact, it was the closest together they'd ever come since, at least as far back as charts on stock charts go, as far back as 20 years, let's say. And that led to this weird drop in August. So the basic gist of this is that when these Bollinger Bands get really close together, a big move tends to happen.
Yeah.
And they should be getting – this sideways thing can't go on forever.
Yeah.
It should resolve this year, I would think.
This year or next year, we don't know. And the thing is, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying odds are in favor of the trend resuming to the upside, because the trend leading into the pattern was an uptrend. That's all I'm saying. And to answer your question in terms of indicators, I don't watch any kind of indicator for that matter. Typically, I mean, I read a lot of people, and then I have a lot of input. But personally, I look at charts exclusively, and I want to address this one more time. I think I did this in the past with our interviews, but I'm not sure. To summarize, what I do is I buy the best and strongest stocks that are trading at or very close to their all-time high. And that is the best insurance you can buy. Because, individual stocks or the strongest stocks, they're sniffing out what's going to happen. So if the S&P 500 was to break to the upside, we will have a new crop of leading stocks that will lead the S&P 500 higher. And these stocks, they will break out to the upside before the S&P 500 does. So if you focus your trading on leaders and on stocks that are acting well from a purely technical perspective, then you, first of all, you get exposure to new leaders, potential new leaders, I might say, and this is the most important part, you buy insurance, because the strongest stocks are those that hold up the best. That means they give you advanced warning signals if things are not gonna work. So that means they make it easier for you to exit when the indices go down. A good example for this philosophy is on down days, when the S&P 500 is down, you always see the best stocks that are able to hold up very well. They don't give back much. And some of them even are in the green. So that indicates that there's huge buying pressure going on there, because institutional traders, funds, etc., they are already buying into these new leaders. Of course, if the markets break down and correct 20 or 30%, these leaders will end being leaders and will not end up being leaders. But they will give you advanced warning signs. And that's the whole point. That's, if you use decent sound stop losses, you can obviously trade growth stocks and be very profitable.
Well, right now, as we're doing this interview, are there any particular sectors or stocks that you're seeing that can emerge as the next leadership group?
Yes, there are two stocks that fit that description, in my opinion. And they're, you know, they're either story stocks or potentially have potentially disruptive technologies. One is obviously OLED, which we've talked about in the past. It's trading very close to its all-time high. It needs a bit more time here to consolidate, but so far, I mean, I might change my mind, but so far it looks very good. And there are new leaders popping up. For example, ACIA, which is Acacia Communications. Let me check if that was correct. Yes, Acacia Communications. This stock is, I'm not a technology expert, you know, but they have apparently disrupting technology when it comes to 100G networks. Connections, fiber optic connections within data centers. So this is the, you know, make the internet faster type of theme. And look at the chart, new all-time high. That's all you need to know, you know.
Yeah, that's a new one to me. I've never heard of that one. Looks like it's a recent IPO.
Yes, and talking about IPOs, if you have a situation where, again, I'm not predicting anything, but if the market is, let's say, within the next 6 or 9 months, going higher and going to put in a 2 or 3 year bull market, I mean, some stocks will have to lead. And the name of the game is always buy new stocks. You know, so I'm not saying that this one will be the super winner, but do you want to buy Cisco or do you want to buy a new emerging high-tech stock that captures your imagination? You know, and this is the whole thing. And then you apply simple technical analysis rules to protect yourself in case you're wrong or in case the stock doesn't go higher.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, at this point, after all these years, I'm not interested in the Facebooks or the Ciscos or that much, too much, you know, frankly, myself. So I'd be more apt to look for something like you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the mega cap stocks like, you know, Microsoft, Facebook, even Apple, or actually Apple, I think it still has the highest market cap out there. These are not stocks I'm interested in personally, because this is old, you know. I prefer new stuff I think it's the best explanation is institutions are not positioned accordingly, and they have to build up positions. And once a new leader or new technology emerges, funds need a lot more time to position themselves accordingly. So we can buy, you know, we can buy whatever amount of shares we buy. We click on a button. One second later, we have this position. With a fund, it takes it, you know, sometimes 6 months or even 1 year to build up their whole position. And this is what's driving prices. You know, if there's a fund out there that has an interest in having exposure to, let's say, Cisco or Apple, they already have their position. You know, it's there's no, you know, nothing is going to capture a trader's imagination there anymore.
Right. Well, as we wrap up, could you tell people where to go to get more information from you and what you provide?
Yeah, it's. I think you're going to link to it below the interview. just go to tischendorf.com, and then there are a lot of free articles you can read, and you have the premium button for members where you can, in orange, where you can access my member website. And Yeah, I've noticed that I've done quite a few videos already, and so for new members who are interested in joining, obviously all those past videos are accessible, and every newsletter I've written so far, and I think this is great educational material because I talk about quick psychology theme at the beginning of each video. Every week I do a video with the newsletter. Then I review stocks I've highlighted in the past, and then I offer a few new high potential stocks, stocks that are ready to move. And yeah, so it's good educational material for everybody who really wants to learn technical analysis. This is the videos alone, in my opinion, are worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me and everyone else. We'll do a follow-up interview soon.
Thanks for having me. It was a great pleasure. We'll talk soon. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I do.